Persil sorgt schon seit 1907 für tiefenreine Wäsche. Auch bei den Johnsons. Oder, Anna?
Das stimmt. Sogar meine Oma hat schon mit Persil gewaschen.
Und als Dankeschön für über 100 Jahre Vertrauen gibt's jetzt bis zu 15 Euro Rabatt auf unser Bestes.
Das mit der roten Schleife.
Genau. Made in Germany. Mehr Infos auf unserbestes.persil.de.
Wenn es tiefenrein ist, ist es Persil.
And now, Veep Thoughts by Kamala Harris.
I know that while we send our prayers and our love, we also, with each day, renew our commitment to the urgency of now and the ability that we have collectively, all of us in it together, to do something about it.
This has been Veep Thoughts by Kamala Harris.
Stu Does America.
Welcome to Stu Does America. I've got a huge episode for you. Well, let's just get right to it here today to do the second attempted assassination of Donald Trump. I don't want to do the third. I don't want a third one of these. We don't need, it's like just an unneeded sequel to a movie. Just no, no more of these, please. I've had enough. Let's try, like, we've got 7 weeks until the election. Can we do it assassination free? What do you think? Can we do that? I will say it would be nice, instead of trying to imprison the guy or disqualify the guy or kill the guy, you could just try to beat him in the election. It's just an idea, something maybe you want to try on if you happen to be on the left. Now, of course, Kamala Harris is the nominee. We should, of course, bring this up. We do it at the beginning of every show. 80 days now without an interview for Kamala Harris. Congratulations. Because, I mean, I don't know. Does this count? Harris sits for her first solo interview. And I guess this kind of counts. It was an interview with a local news person, Action News 6 ABC, who asked her some interesting questions, and she gave just vapid nonsense as answers. I mean, you heard Veep Thoughts a minute ago. That's basically what her answers were. We'll get to maybe some of that tomorrow because it's worth going through it. But I will say, I think maybe we have to retire it now. I mean, I think maybe 80 days is enough. And I think maybe we need to start, you know what? Let's start a new one. How many days since our last assassination attempt? Can we do that? I'd like to go all the way to the election with it, but I know that might be asking a little bit too much. So let's have a new, maybe tomorrow we'll have a new graphic. It'll be what, 2 days, 1 day since our last assassination attempt. I think that's probably where it's been nice, though. I will say I've been prepping for the show here last, you know, we put the show together and, you know, I'm kind of reading through everything and getting myself ready for this. And in that time, I checked right before I came on the air, the last like half hour or so, no assassination attempts, not one. So we're doing pretty well so far. Trump is safe after what the FBI described as an assassination attempt. I think anyone would describe it that way. I don't think necessarily the FBI needs to point that out, but thank you so much for pointing it out. You can place your bets now on how long it will be and how long it will stay in the news cycle, because last one was what, 3 days? A president got shot on stage and we're like, ah, look at that. Look at that. Look at that squirrel over there. That's a shiny squirrel. It's not even a normal furry squirrel. It's a shiny squirrel. So it's something shiny and it's a squirrel. There's no way I can focus on the fact that our presidential candidate almost got murdered on stage. Of course, to be slightly fair to all of our attention spans, right? And this was, by the way, 100% intentional. I don't know when when Joe Biden decided he was going to drop out. I can just tell you, if it was before that assassination attempt happened, I can tell you for sure they decided to wait until after that and the RNC to try to rip that news cycle back. And they did it successfully, right? Like, he was able, a week later, the dropping out of Joe Biden, and that led to totally changing the news cycle, which is what they wanted, of course. We should remember that we had a president. We had a debate June 27th, then an assassination attempt where Donald Trump was actually shot on stage. Another man was murdered. A horrible, horrible day. And then a few weeks later, we have the next presidential debate. And not one time do the moderators bring it up. Now, I don't know what the question exactly is, but it seems, especially when you're talking about how bad the rhetoric is of the candidate whose ear was hit on stage with a bullet, perhaps maybe it's worth bringing up that the man was shot. He brought it up once, and that was about it. This was a serious attempt on Donald Trump's life. If you think about golf for a second, it's a little bit of a risk, right? Golf is a very wide open area. You can see everything coming. Everyone walks on a path that is similar, right? You're going hole to hole in order. Everyone knows where you're going, when you're coming that way. It's usually surrounded by shrubbery where you can kind of sit back in there and kind of hide yourself. It is a risky scenario for any candidate, honestly, and I'm surprised it hasn't honestly been an issue earlier, but he was only one hole away from Donald Trump. I mean, that's a big, big thing. Now, there was a lot of questioning I saw online from people who were saying, wait a minute, how did they even know Trump would be golfing at this time? This was, you know, CNN reported that this was a kind of a quick thing where they, you know, they didn't really announce it in advance. Now, some of this you could take by just thinking, all right, well, look, Donald Trump, he's off today. He's going to Mar-a-Lago. I know for a fact he was telling people he was going to Mar-a-Lago because he told Glenn. He saw Glenn on Saturday, the day before this, and told him he was going to Mar-a-Lago. What did Glenn know and when did he know it? So he was going to Mar-a-Lago. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean he's playing golf, but yeah, you can kind of maybe, you might expect on a day off, he really loves his golf. Maybe he's going to go out and play. But still, how did he time this so well? We got some information on this today from police. The revelation that according to cell phone data, the suspect lingered near the golf course for about 12 hours before he was spotted 300 to 500 yards from Donald Trump is significant. It suggests the Secret Service and local law enforcement partners failed to detect him in their sweeps of the perimeter. Now, that's true. In some ways, I will say, it's interesting because, first of all, he just seemingly waited in the bushes for 12 hours, assuming he was going to golf at some point. And the Secret Service was walking a hole ahead of him, saw the gun barrel and was able to actually stop him, which is incredible. I mean, in some ways, it's the opposite story of Pennsylvania, where there's incredible amounts of weakness and pathetic handling of this situation by Secret Service and police, whoever you want to blame. But we all can look at this and say that was crazy that this guy was allowed to get on this roof somehow. In this one, it's actually kind of impressive that they caught this. I mean, in some ways, you look ahead of it and, you know, I know there's some people who will take the more negative side of this, but like you could point to this one as a bit more of a success story than a failure. They caught one gun barrel in the bushes of a golf course. Thank God they found it. So it's actually somewhat of a success if you look at it from the micro sort of level. The macro sort of level, obviously, no one should be anywhere on that perimeter. The whole thing should have been shut down. It doesn't make any sense that anyone was able to get there and sit there for 12 freaking hours. It's impossibly stupid. So there are failures and at least successes of one agent that we can say. And a lot of people are like, well, how can you praise Secret Service? I wouldn't say I'm praising Secret Service generally. I would put some praise on that particular agent. But I'm not the only one saying good things about that agent. Donald Trump also said them. He said, I would like to thank everyone for your concern and well wishes. It was certainly an interesting day. Most importantly, I want to thank the U.S. Secret Service, Sheriff Rick Bradshaw and his Office of Brave and Dedicated Patriots, and of all of law enforcement for the incredible job done today at Trump International in keeping me as president, 45th president of the United States, as in the Republican nominee in the upcoming election, safe. The job done was absolutely outstanding. I am very proud to be an American. We also got reaction from, oh yes, Kamala Harris with this impassioned plea. I mean, you can almost feel the enthusiasm and the emotion coming through this post. I have been briefed on reports that gunshots fired near former President Trump and his property in Florida. I am glad he's safe. Violence has no place in America. Wow, you really connected with the moment there, Kamala. I mean, you can tell she's really excited Donald Trump is alive. President Biden mumbled something on Twitter as well. I am relieved that the former president is unharmed. There is an active investigation into this incident as a law enforcement gathers more details about what happened. As I said many times, there is no place for political violence for any violence ever in our country. I mean, if you don't want any violence in our country, you don't really need to specify also political, but okay. And I have been directing my team to continue to ensure that Secret Service has every resource, capability, and protective measure necessary to ensure the former president's continued safety. I mean, that's just blatantly a lie. He's not doing that. And if he was doing that, I mean, this isn't happening to Joe Biden every day or Kamala Harris every day because they have that protection. This is happening to Donald Trump over and over again. Why? Well, because he doesn't. That's the problem. And now there's been a lot of reaction to this. And who is to blame is really the key thing, right, in these moments. That's where everyone jumps to. Here is MSNBC talking about it with Lester Holt. Watch this.
Today's apparent assassination attempt comes amid increasingly fierce rhetoric on the campaign trail itself. Mr. Trump, his running mate J.D. Vance, continue to make baseless claims about Haitian immigrants in Ohio.
What does that have
this
to do
weekend,
with?
There were new bomb threats in that town. Our Maggie Vespa is in Columbus, Ohio, with
what
more.
What does that have to do with?
Lester, simply put, Springfield, Ohio has been inundated by threats. Over the last several days, closing government buildings, schools, hospitals. Today, effectively closing a local university campus after administrators said someone threatened a mass shooting targeting Haitians. This in light of, officials say, a false online conspiracy theory alleging Haitian immigrants in that city are eating people's pets.
Now look, if he's going to say stuff like that, I mean, what does he expect to happen? You know, that seems to be the tone of the reporting there, which is bizarre. I got news for you. I don't care what kind of rhetoric Donald Trump uses. It's not justifiable to shoot him. Do I have to say that in today's world? It does seem that way. And I will also point out, this is just a pet peeve of mine, no connection whatsoever to this particular story because it happens all the time. But like, have you noticed journalists just turn off the journalisming when it comes to death threats? Like, anybody can go on TV and say they've had death threats. And no one ever checks. There's never a requirement for emails to prove it. These places in Ohio may very well have had death threats on record. I'm not saying they didn't. I'm not accusing them of that by any means. But it's reminding me of this because it pisses me off every single time. Every time you say something bad, every time someone gets exposed, every time someone gets something bad said about them, they cry on Twitter about having death threats. And then the media just reports it without any evidence. They never check. They don't check the email addresses. They don't follow up. They don't try to find out who's doing it. Is it a serious attempt? Because my guess is there's probably not a lot of actual bombing going on here. I got out of high school about 643 times because of bomb threats. And that was just because people were calling it in. They wanted to get out of class. That's what that was. I don't know. Look, if you are an absolute idiot and you think it's a good idea to threaten violence against people in Ohio because you heard an online rumor about something, you're a moron. Okay? Don't do that. That's stupid. Everybody knows that's stupid. I'm sure somebody has done it. I don't know. But I would like some more journalism that goes on about these threats. Not just the person telling you about it. Show me. Show it to me. Let me see evidence of it. Is it a legitimate threat? Is it a serious threat? Or is it just some idiot on Twitter? I would love to have some sort of people looking into these things at some level. Is that too much to ask? It does seem to be too much to ask, so I apologize for asking. By the way, the rhetoric does build up, and their point here on rhetoric is not one that I would certainly take to for any legal consequences. You do have free speech. You have the free speech to be a jerk. You have a free speech to use rhetoric like calling Donald Trump or Kamala Harris a fascist if you want. You can do all that. You can do all that. But is it responsible to do it, especially right now? This is Tim Clemente. He was on CNN. I think he gave an answer they didn't really like too much. Watch this.
This has never happened before. It is unprecedented.
You know, Aaron, it's unprecedented in a civilized society. And I think we're becoming more and more uncivilized, sadly, with the political diatribes that are going on and the political indictments of either candidate. And sadly, the finger pointing at Trump has led to, the line about the bloodbath, talking about the auto industry being used as if he's going to create a bloody coup if he loses. That kind of verbiage is something you use in a third world country when you're talking about a dictator. And that sadly has led to, I think, these attempts on Trump's life. And I don't think it's going to end. And I think we just have to realize, look, we're political opponents. You and I might not agree on 50% of what we care about politically. It doesn't matter. It doesn't mean we can't be friends, neighbors, relatives, and have a regular dialogue every day. And we have to get back to that. Talk about our differences, but not in a way that makes us feel like you're the enemy and I'm all good.
Uh-oh. Can you believe when they were saying things like bloodbath? That was about the auto industry. It wasn't about this. And that's creating the environment. I felt bad for, I think it was Aaron Burnett, the CNN host, who had to probably be thinking, well, that's about 80% of our content. if we're saying that's bad and that's causing that, we are on the hook for this. And it's true, right? I mean, look, you don't blame these people specifically for, like, you know, you come out and, you know, Bernie Sanders says something crazy. I'm not going to blame the Bernie Sanders volunteer who tried to kill 10% of the Republican caucus. It's not Bernie Sanders' fault. But it is completely irresponsible to keep doing this stuff after the man has been shot twice. And it's still happening. I mean, he wasn't shot the second time, I should say. Almost shot the second time. Who is this guy, by the way? Man in custody after Trump golf incident was once convicted of possessing a machine gun. This guy's had a colorful life. He certainly has. Let's go through some of it. 2002, court records show he was convicted of possessing a weapon of mass destruction, a machine gun. In that case, a man named Ryan Routh, 36 at the time, allegedly led authorities on a vehicle chase before he holed up at a roofing company in Greensboro, North Carolina, according to an account by the Greensboro News and Record. I feel like I would be in jail longer than he was for that particular incident, but we will see. Records, I'm not gonna try one of them, but my guess is the next time somebody tries something crazy and has a chase with the cops and runs away with a machine gun, they're gonna get a little more time in prison than good old Routh did. Records show convictions for carrying a concealed weapon, possession of stolen property, and hit and run in those cases, which included misdemeanor convictions for violations such as resisting an officer and driving on a suspended license. The defendant received a suspended sentence and parole or probation. There is no record of time spent in prison related to those cases in the early 2000s. I feel like most people would go to prison for things like that, but who knows? Routh told the publication Semaphore last year that he was a director of a group he called International Volunteer Center as part of his attempts to support Ukraine's war in Russia. Routh spoke of his frustration with Ukraine over what he said were roadblocks to admitting foreign fighters, including Afghan commandos who were either volunteered or were able to join Ukraine's war effort. Let's see, Newsweek 2022, he was interviewed. This guy was all over the media because he was tied to this Ukraine situation. He confirmed he was flown to Ukraine from Hawaii. That's a long freaking flight right there. I might go nuts too if I had to deal with that flight. He complained about a U.S. leadership as it related to Ukraine and urged greater support for the community from the U.S. government. This conflict is definitely black and white. It's about good versus evil, he said. I mean, a lot of it sounds like the rhetoric you'd get on CNN or MSNBC. And this is why this is pretty straightforward. Routh had previously criticized Trump on social media, writing that he supported his first run for president, writing on X. He then called Twitter in June 2020, said, "Real Donald Trump, while you were my choice in 2106, which was a mistake, but 2016, I and the world hoped that President Trump would be different and better than the candidate, but we are all greatly disappointed, and it seems like you're getting worse and devolving." He then, you know, throws some nasty language at him. He says, "I will be glad when you're gone." He also, when he was living in Hawaii, made several small donations to Democratic fundraising platform Act Blue, including 19 payments from $1 to $25, including to FEC Records. I will say, at this point, we might want to just treat Act Blue like it's the do not fly list. If you donate to it, you're automatically prevented from, you're just on the terrorist watch list. I think that's probably a safe, I mean, how, again, it's only been one day since an Act Blue member has actually tried to commit a murder of a presidential candidate. So we got that going on for us. This is what's weird about this guy, is he was known in the media. I mean, he was known by a bunch of these publications. New York Times wrote about him in this article, "Stolen Valor of the U.S. Volunteers in Ukraine Who Lie, Waste, and Bicker." And it's, you know, the headline's sort of negative. The story itself wasn't all that negative. For example, this is what they wrote about Ryan Routh, who's featured. "With the Legion growth stalling, Ryan Routh, a former construction worker from Greensboro, is seeking recruits from among Afghan soldiers who fled the Taliban. Mr. Routh, who spent several months in Ukraine last year, said he planned to move them, in some cases illegally, from Pakistan and Iran to Ukraine. He said dozens had expressed interest. 'We can probably purchase some passports through Pakistan, since it's such a corrupt country,' he said in an interview from Washington. It's not clear whether he has succeeded, but one former Afghan soldier said he had been contacted and was interested in fighting if it meant leaving Iran, where he was living illegally." And you listen to that, and it's interesting because that's not how he's being portrayed now. He's not being portrayed as like a serious leader of this movement. He's being, you know, kind of portrayed as a buffoon. In fact, the New York Times wrote a follow-up to this. The New York Times reporter revisits earlier interview with his suspect that tried to kill Trump. He said, and listen to the way he writes about it now. By the time I got off the phone with Mr. Routh some minutes later, it was clear that he was in way over his head. He talked of buying off corrupt officials, forging passports, and doing whatever it took to get his Afghan cadre to Ukraine. But he had no real way of accomplishing his goals. At one point, he mentioned arranging a U.S. military transport flight from Iraq to Poland with Afghan refugees willing to fight. I shook my head. It sounded ridiculous, but the tone in Mr. Routh's voice said otherwise. He was going to back Ukraine's war effort no matter what. You notice the difference in tone there? Like, now that he's an assassin and everyone knows he was an assassin, he's a joke, right? And he's admitting now, oh, well, I didn't believe him for a second. Well, why didn't you write that in the article? Because at that time, they needed him to illustrate the idea that so many people were being brought in and there's this big contingency of people to support the Ukraine war, that he served a purpose. But instead of telling the truth about the guy, which is like, okay, this is just a moron and he's trying to do all this stuff, but he seems kind of crazy. They didn't do that. Instead, we just get this totally different picture. I want to go into what this means a little bit here, because it means a lot. And we need to make some serious changes in our country if we're going to continue with this grand experiment that we started a couple hundred years ago. This is kind of falling apart right now. We need to get it back on the rails. We'll help do that next. You can't let your retirement dollars become a weapon used against everything you hold dear. Let Constitution Wealth be your financial fortress, helping you defend your values with every single dollar. This is the Patriot's choice in wealth management. Constitution Wealth can help empower you and take a stand and fight against the forces of ESG and DEI and CRT, because they're involved in your investments. And if you're avoiding a couple six packs of Bud Light at the store, but then investing tens of thousands of dollars in a company that is totally woke and working against conservatives, well, you know, which one do you think is more important? Your investments are some of the most powerful weapons you have to fight the culture war. That's what the idea of a parallel economy is all about. And with Constitution Wealth, you can partner with advisors who truly understand and share your conservative patriotic values. Take action now. Visit constitutionwealth.com/blaze and enter for a free, you can just sign up basically and get a free consultation right away. If you have, you're in the middle of a retirement, you're looking at how much money you have in your account, you want to invest it a smarter way and still get great returns, constitutionwealth.com/blaze. It's constitutionwealth.com/blaze.
Lust auf besonders feine Weihnachten? Erlebe einzigartigen Genuss mit Rewe Feine Welt. Diese Woche zum Beispiel Rewe Feine Welt Schweizer Käse Trüffeltraum mildwürzig, je 150 Gramm Packung nur 3,49 Euro. Oder Rewe Feine Welt italienischer Prosciutto Crudo, roher Schinken mit Meersalz behandelt, mindestens 18 Monate gereift, je 100 Gramm Packung nur 4,29 Euro. Festlich sparen mit Genuss. Rewe, dein Markt.
We're back again talking about the second now assassination attempt against Donald Trump. And I shudder to think about what the world looks like if, God forbid, Kamala Harris had two assassination attempts on her. Can you imagine? I think they just closed down every conservative media establishment in America and just blame us whether we had anything to do with it or not. Of course, not is the right answer on that. But like, it's one of those situations. Can you imagine the opposite? And I think, you know, this is, of course, a reminder, which, you know, something that Glenn talks about all the time. All they're looking for is one person to act out. They want it so badly because they'll be able to justify so many terrible things. If just one person who comes out as supposedly conservative and does something crazy, whether that is, God forbid, with a candidate or God forbid in Ohio or wherever that is. No, absolutely not. Any person who does that is obviously completely insane. But that's what they want. They hope somebody does it, because it's going to be able to look at what they got out of January 6th. Look what they got out of Charlottesville. The second they can come up with people, you know, marching in the street with tiki torches. How many times do they bring that up? God forbid, you know, there have been these incidents in the past. So few of them have been from the conservative side. And I certainly don't make Charlottesville got nothing to do with conservatism, but they still try to pin it on us. That being said, if you hear, God forbid, you hear anybody going crazy, stop them, because that crazy is not what we need here in this country. And it's also what the opposite side wants desperately. Now, I will say this, after all of this, you can make an argument, you know, well, I'm just saying things. Oh, of course, you know, we can call Donald Trump a fascist and he's a threat to democracy and a threat to America. We can say that all we want. I mean, I don't agree with that, but like, it is totally irresponsible to continue with that. And it's still happening. People are still tweeting it. They're still saying it. They've changed nothing. Not one little bit of their tone has been changed. There is no new tone for the left. It's the same nonsense they've been doing the entire time. And you can't be surprised when things like this happen. When you call him like Hitler, right? What does that mean? When you call somebody Hitler over and over again for years after years, like, people are going to be thinking, well, I should do something about that. And a lot of times they end their sentences with, we must stop him. What do you think people are going to take out of that? People like Ryan Routh. Well, we found out about this. And they keep saying, well, our rhetoric has changed. We're joyful now. I guess these are joyful assassination attempts. I guess that's we're now in the joy. We're in the era of joyful assassination attempts. I kind of wanted to call the show today Stu Does Joyful Assassination Attempts, but they stopped me because they thought that might not look good in print. But I will say it's kind of where they are. Right. They're just trying to they say joy. And then the second you turn your head, they're talking about fascism and end of democracy. And they're going to take your rights and they want your internal organs if you're a woman or whatever the hell they're saying these days. Does anyone have self-control anymore? Are there any adults out there? Have we reached idiocracy where people just blurt out the first thing that comes to their mind and they don't care at all about what it does and what it makes people do? I am at the point where it is really, really irresponsible. I get that, you know, you can have these things where, you know, look, we all of us, I'm a commentator. Like, I say things all the time. Glenn says things all the time. Other Blaze personalities say things all the time. Might be a little too overheated for certain periods. We're in that one of those periods right now. You can't be calling Donald Trump a fascist anymore. It's just completely irresponsible unless you want to get the guy killed. That's it. That is the line right now. And you'll know who wants to get him killed by who continues to say this nonsense. Trump should have, and this is obvious, Trump should have the same protection that Joe Biden has. He's a former president. I know the standard normally is not as high as the current president of the United States. However, in this particular case, it should be fixed. Congress should fix it. Fix it. You got a few months. Fix it. There's no reason you can't fix this. They're saying now that a Trump shooting incident sparks bipartisan push to boost his security. Has it? I haven't noticed much of the bipartisanship on it. I'd like to see a bipartisan push. It should be bipartisan. Look, when we're in the end of a presidential election, whether it's Hillary Clinton or Joe Biden or Kamala Harris or Donald Trump or Mitt Romney, whoever it is, those people should be protected. I understand you have to come up with some rules. You can't protect the guy necessarily who's going to get 47 votes in the Prohibition Party. I understand that's a little bit too much resource-wise. But for the two main party candidates and maybe any high-profile third-party candidates, this protection should be provided to them right away, automatically. Yes, it might be a little have you noticed this country doesn't care about spending money? All right, back in a second. Imagine for a moment you're about to make the biggest financial decision most people make in their lives. And when I say the biggest financial decision, it also might be the biggest financial mistake you're ever making in your life. You want to avoid that mistake. So many people have done it. They've spent too much in a house. They've sold for too little. They've made all sorts of unnecessary repairs that didn't even help their sales price. You need someone on your side of the aisle. This means buying or selling a home. I tell people this all the time. Have a buying agent. Have somebody on your side. When you're selling, make sure you have the best agent in your area. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com pairs you with the best real estate agent in your area, no matter where you are. Someone who knows the best practices, who understands the crazy housing market. Someone who's a team leader and a closer. Someone you can trust. Go to realestateagentsitrust.com right now. Realestateagentsitrust.com. The name kind of says it all. It is a free service to you. Realestateagentsitrust.com. It's realestateagentsitrust.com.
Einsteigen, aufdrehen, losfahren. Mit dem neuen Volkswagen T-Roc bist du bereit für den großen Auftritt. Selbstbewusst und voller Power. Du steigst ein? Keine Kompromisse. Nur du und der Moment. Alles passt. Dein Sound, dein Drive. Dein T-Rock. Rockt. Der neue T-Rock.
I'm joined once again by Alex Stein, host of Primetime with Alex Stein right here on Blaze TV and host of the new Blaze Originals special, Scamdemic, How Fraudsters Cashed In on Billions. It's available right now on Blaze TV as part of your membership, blazetv.com/Stu. The code's Stu40 right now. You can get $40 off. your subscription. Alex, welcome, man.
Thank you for having me. It's been a minute. It's always nice to catch up. The world is crazy right now. Stu, what are we going to do?
I know. We were just talking about the assassination attempt. Mm-hmm. First of all, let me ask you this, because you are our head conspiracy theory.
I'll take that. Wow. Head of conspiracy.
I think so. Okay, like CEO of conspiracy. The C is for conspiracy. You have fun with conspiracy theories, which I like. Yeah. But like they used to be fun. Now it just feels like they're serious, and like a lot of them wind up coming true. Is there one? Do we have a conspiracy theory on the latest shooting? Is there anything going around?
I mean, I think it's obvious though, that Ruth is connected with. They say, I mean, is he a CIA asset? Is he an FBI asset? I'm not necessarily just saying that. I'm speculating that he is connected in some sort of way with the Azov Battalion, which is like the Nazi battalion in the Ukraine. He's literally recruiting people online to go fight. Just very weird. And then he was also in a Gideon. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he's one of the biggest YouTubers. He was in one of his videos recruiting people on a college campus. So he's doing something that is organized. I just don't know who's organizing his activism, I guess you'd say.
Mm. I want to get to your documentary here in a second because it's really good. It's really entertaining. But on the election, what's your feel of this right now? What's your vibe?
I mean, I think Donald Trump is popular. I think he's more popular than Kamala Harris. But I don't know. He's lost some support with conservatives. I think that's obvious with what you saw during the primaries with Nikki and DeSantis. But I don't really trust the voting process. And maybe they can't fortify it this year, and that's why they're trying to do all these stunts and assassinations. I don't know, but I thought Donald Trump was going to win 2020 handedly, and I don't have that same energy. I don't think the campaign has the same energy that it had in 2020 or even 2016.
I mean, it's weird because he kind of already won the election. Like, his opponent, he was beating him so badly, he dropped out. Like, he already won it once. Now he has to win it a second time, in a way. And it's going to be, I mean, she's formidable, if nothing else, because she's smart enough to keep her mouth shut most of the time. Yeah. And the media is there to kind of carry the water.
Yeah, but I mean, she's just so untalented as a politician. I mean, she's done better than I expected in these debates and at the DNC. But still, she just doesn't have that kind of swag, I would say, that Donald Trump has. But I don't know if that matters, because people don't even realize that she's been the vice president for the past 4 years, 3.5 years, and they still want to support her. The fact that people can't afford groceries, you know, inflation's insane. I mean, our country's basically going, I hate to say it, down the toilet, and I hate to describe it like that, but she's not responsible for any of that. So I don't know. I don't have a lot of hope or faith in these voters.
Yeah, it's hard to have faith in many in the America. In fact, you interviewed a bunch of them in your documentary.
Yes.
I don't know that I would necessarily have faith that their votes are canceling out mine. But it was interesting to watch by the way, it's called Scamdemic, How Fraudsters Cashed In on Billions. And it goes into all the PPP loan fraud. So I want to get into that. But first of all, you got to go to Miami.
Yes.
You're driving around fancy cars. About half of the documentary, you seem to be dancing around in water on a beach. I have a documentary coming out as well.
I've heard about your documentary about the FAA.
Yeah, it's coming out after years. It's the next one in line here. Mm-hmm. I got to go to like the Denver airport.
And I heard it was worse because there was Charlie, the same producer. You know, they said that you had to stand in the hot sun outside of the airport. It looked like we were having a lot more fun.
It looked way better than mine.
Well, we got to go to Miami, but that's where a lot of the fraud was.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think the PPP program, it was meant to help out struggling businesses with their payroll, but then it got totally abused by these companies. Like, let's say you had over 300 employees, you weren't eligible for it. So people were starting to break down their companies into different, you know, groups so that they would say that only had 120 employees in this company, 80 employees in this company. And so they took advantage of it. You saw a lot of celebrities, the Los Angeles Lakers took out a PPP loan. So, I mean, it was a good program in theory that got abused, and now in my mind I think they kind of wanted it to get abused so they can go after the people that abuse it, because that's a whole nother kit and caboodle of this whole thing. Is now they're just prosecuting people that did PPP fraud, and you can tell on somebody, and we talked to FBI agents about it, and that's a new money thing, because if you tell on somebody that did PPP fraud, you get some of the money, you get a percentage of the money that they recover,
which is amazing. It really is. It's like one of those circular economies.
Kind of. Problem, reaction, solution. Like, they created this problem. Now the FBI has stuff they get to go track down these business owners. But it was really egregious for some people getting millions of dollars. They didn't have any employees. You know, it's like, if an Uber Eats driver, they were eligible, if they got a one for $2,000, that's not as big a deal as somebody just lying and getting $1 million and not even owning a company, which happened in constantly, I mean, countless amount of times.
Yeah, I mean, because that program was interesting because in that moment, I was not for the lockdowns, as I know you were not as well. But like, if you're a government and you're coming to these people saying you have to shut down your businesses, once you've taken that step, you need something like one of these programs. Because you are the one screwing these businesses, you have to give them some way out. And this is why, of course, you don't do it in the first place. But like, did you have sympathy for some of the people that took this? Were there people that were just in desperate circumstances, or was it just all straight out fraud?
No, of course, for the people that took it and needed it, that's okay. But it was also weird how the banks got to decide if the, you know, if they would lend it or not. And they were, incentivized to lend out as much money as possible. So they weren't really doing their due diligence when it came to researching the people that they were loaning money to. So in a way, you could say the banks were in on it, too. So it's just, I don't know. I mean, it started off as something good. Then I think it got taken advantage of by a lot of people. But for me, it actually goes back to the debate that just happened. Even though Donald Trump is conservative, I would have liked to see him, because Kamala Harris was pandering, oh, I love guns, I own a gun. I would have liked to see Trump say, hey, I gave you guys all $1,200. Maybe when I get to become president again, I might give you guys another $1,200.
We should have all of our campaigns should just be all lies from both sides.
Why not? I mean, they're lying anyways.
Yeah,
I mean,
embrace
come on.
It. Embrace it, right?
Why not?
So it was interesting because this had risen to such a level in certain communities that it became like a pop culture phenomenon. On these stupid loans.
Still is, yeah.
It still is, right? Like you cover like rappers rapping about it, and I mean it was really a big thing.
It was. It was part of the culture to go get free money, and people figured out how to scam the system. And it wasn't just black people, white people. I mean, it was all different kinds of people that were doing it. So I don't want to just say, you know, one ethnicity, but it did become kind of an urban legend, like, hey, look, you can go get free money. And that's how it was kind of spread. It was kind of like, hey, if you go do this, if you lie, you get an EIN number. And, you know, it was taken advantage of tremendously.
And it was not only people like exaggerating, like you said, like breaking up their company into two so they can get payments, but it was also like people just making up companies completely.
Oh, yeah, totally fake. They had no business, no nothing. They might have had a EIN number or a business, you know, or people were getting it without that. They were getting it with their socials and saying that they were making more money and lying and just giving banks, you know, false information, and the banks weren't doing their due diligence. And then the banks were the ones approving the loans, and then boom, people had free money. And we are on the hook for it now. And that's why you could argue that our inflation is so bad, not just because of Joe Biden, but because of all the money we printed and all the free money we gave out during the pandemic.
Yeah, because those were bipartisan. You have Thomas Massie on in the doc.
And Thomas Massie is great. You know,
tell me about his interaction with Trump.
His interaction with Trump, you know, Trump really went against him hard. I mean, he went and endorsed his opponent, and Thomas Massie still dominated. So I really respect Thomas Massie for actually standing up for what he believed in, because most politicians won't do that. They'll just kind of toe the company line. And Thomas Massie knew that this was all a scam that was going to cost the American taxpayers. And we need more politicians like Thomas Massie, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was entertaining. You had a long conversation with him, and entertaining. He actually does a pretty good Trump.
He does a great Trump.
And he talked about how
Trump threatened him, and he was there on the House floor trying to speak up against this, and he was the only person that was willing to take the leap of faith and speak out against it. And Trump called him on his phone when he was going to speak out against it, and he still did it, even though Trump told him not to. So that takes a lot of cojones, as they say.
We need more of that. I mean, I understand that people, you know, Trump has a certain type of loyalty, which is really, really strong. And people are terrified of the guy and his,
probably rightfully so.
Yeah, I can understand. Yeah. He's definitely blown up some careers over the years.
To say the least.
But like, why? I don't understand. Same thing with like what we do, right? Like as a commentator, like, what are you getting into this for? Like, if you're not saying the crap that you believe in, what is the point of all of this?
Well, you know that, is that a lot of politicians get into politics and they were like, I'm going to go make change. I'm going to go try to fix this corrupt system. But as soon as they get there, they just become a part of the corrupt system.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe that's because they become professional fundraisers and then they have to appease the people that are higher up in their party so that they can fundraise. So I don't know. Our whole politics is a scam, in my opinion, because, like you said, only one person is going to speak out because they're so afraid to speak out. Like, I think you would say everybody on Capitol Hill, 99% of them are afraid to speak out against their party. And when you have that, then what do we have? We just have a bunch of yes men and women.
Yeah. So what's the lesson from all this?
I would say the lesson from all this is that if it happens again, we probably shouldn't give out a bunch of free money. That probably would not be the most beneficial thing for Americans. But I do think something like this is going to happen again. Lord, I hope it's not a pandemic, but say we go to World War III and they have to ration and close businesses. I don't know. This is pure speculation. But I'm just saying there's probably going to be another opportunity where the government has to bail out the American citizens. And I hope next time it doesn't have the ramifications that this program had.
Yeah, because, I mean, really, you look at, you could take this one. You take the Inflation Reduction Act. Mm-hmm. You take the American Rescue Act, which was that early one in Biden. You combine all that spending. And a lot of it was improved by Republicans, too. I can't just blame the Democrats on this, but it was certainly all agreed to by Democrats, and they wanted more of it. That created all these problems, the economic problems we're talking about now, where, you know, families are paying all this money for milk and food and gas and everything else. So closely related to all that spending, and so much of it went just down the drain.
And it just makes me mad, too. You know, in California, they're trying to give underwrite homes for illegal aliens. Yeah. I mean, this is ridiculous. Why not help out American citizens with these social services? If we're going to have social services, I believe that American citizens should be the ones that are entitled to them first. But that's not what we're doing right now. They literally want to give these social services to illegal immigrants. And I was just in New York City, and you lived in New York City. I went and I stayed, and I think I've said this on your program before, but I went and stayed at a Hampton Inn. It was $325. And the reason why that was is because one out of five hotels in Manhattan is now deemed as a migrant shelter. So it's raising the price of rooms in Manhattan where you can't even get an affordable hotel room. So I hate that we're subsidizing. If I'm an illegal Haitian, I get a free room and board in Manhattan for 6 months. But if I'm Alex Stein going there and trying to work and do business, I have to pay out the nose. It sucks.
After watching your documentary, I don't believe you stay at Hampton Inns.
I did. No, it looked nice. I swear. I don't even think we stayed. I think we stayed at one okay hotel. But no, I stayed at a Hampton Inn because I like the free breakfast, dude. Never hate on the free breakfast. That's my favorite thing when I go to the Hampton
Inn. I'm into the free breakfast. We were in miserable hotels.
I know. You went to Denver. Where else did you go?
Denver, Miami, Washington, Phoenix, maybe one more. And all of them, they weren't even like bad hotel chains. They were bad versions of the bad hotel chains.
Okay. Well, and your documentary is even more important than mine because, listen, I fly every weekend. And I think that's kind of what you want to end on, a conspiracy. I think there is going to be a plane type issue, disaster. I don't know what it is. I just, because you see all this stuff with Boeing, how the new MAX 8 jets, their computers aren't working, and Southwest had planes that crashed. Southwest is, their stock is just crumbling. So I think there's going to be some sort of aviation disaster. I hope and pray that that does not happen. But you spoke to the FAA. They're trying to do DEI in the FAA. Yeah. Listen, I mean, that's terrible. I don't care the color, skin, or even the gender of my pilot, as long as they're not transgender. My point is I'm worried that somebody on the ground messes up. They don't change a tire right. They don't, tell it to go to the right runway. People don't realize how finicky our airplane and airport system is. It's very scary.
Well, I need you to help promote my
100%
documentary then,
promote
because you can just be like, hey, it's coming out. A plane could fall out of the sky any moment. You have to watch Stu's documentary.
Stu, it could.
I will say it was scary.
But real quick, I guess the last thing, do you follow the Instagram accounts that actually record the FAA interactions with people? Like they record it, and there's all the times where the pilot's like, there was a truck on runway 6. Why didn't you tell me? So you dealt with this.
Terrifying. Yeah, we listened. We have a bunch of them in the documentary.
It's very scary.
But first things first, yours is out now, so go watch it. It's on Blaze TV. It is called Scamdemic, How Fraudsters Cash In on Billions. I think there's like this little bit of people who like don't want to revisit the COVID era because it was just miserable for everybody.
Yes.
And like we can't let this slide. We're talking about a fortune of your money that went down the tube for absolutely no reason. We have to shine a light on this. Alex, awesome. Thanks so much, man. Appreciate
it. Always a pleasure.
Don't forget, it's blazetv.com/Stu. Code Stu40 right now for $40 off. Don't miss Alex's documentary and so much more on Blaze TV. So much going on in the world today. I want to remind you of State of the Race. It's our podcast series. Appears on my audio feed at wherever you get your audio podcast, under the Studios America feed. You'll get it there when it comes out. We did one on Friday that I think you might be interested in, coming off of the debate. What we did is we went through all the polls, going back historically a few decades, looking at what the reaction polls were. How bad was this quote unquote loss from Donald Trump? Will it make a difference? We have all the detail in one little, 15, 20 minute package. You can get it in the Studios America feed, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us there. Follow us on YouTube as well. Of course, we appreciate that. That's been growing. We're getting close to 100,000 subscribers. Really want to get there. So it's a nice round number. So let's do that. And as I mentioned with Alex, we have these Blaze Originals. They're on Blaze TV and they've got a huge deal going on now. I don't know how long this lasts. So check it out. And if you want to join Blaze TV, join now. You get $40 off. BlazeTV.com/Stu. The promo code Stu40.